Dirk Dehner is in the house. Dirk Dehner, the Tom of Finland Foundation. Welcome, Dirk.
Well, thank you, yeah. John.
So nice to have you here. You and I have known each other a real long time.
I was trying to figure out how many years, at least 20.
I think longer. I hate to say it, maybe 30, a long, long time.
Yeah, I think the first time we came together was when we had some business concerns with Tom and I.
That's right. Yeah. He was still alive. He died in the early 90s.
91.
Yeah. 91.
Yeah.
So let's stop. For the listeners who are listening, we have a lot of millennials who are listening on radio.com. They may not know what Tom of Finland is in the LGBT
world. Well, you know, the interesting thing is, what is Tom of Finland? Is it a type of drawing? Is it a person? Is it what it is? And in fact, it's both, because he's a phenomena in that he's a man that grew up in Finland, and he wanted to actually make a difference in trying to elevate the self-esteem of homosexuals. And so in the mid-1950s, he entered into the publishing market, and his work started to actually be circulated, and he influenced us and raised our self-esteem and gave us a sense of pride and freedom.
I saw a documentary at Outfest about his life. Maybe it was the year before last or last year. But I mean, if people, because I actually brought a straight friend to introduce him to what it was all about.
Exactly.
And Tom of Finland really presented hyper-masculinity as an option for gay men. Because prior to that, it was all about poof or fairy.
And so
the feminine aspects of our culture was rising. Nothing wrong with it. But there was no presentation on the hyper-masculine.
So what had happened is actually society had denied us that opportunity to actually develop and choose that as an option as far as in our own development. And so what he did is he just opened up the playing field and gave us more choices that we could pick and select from.
Right.
And so it was about freedom.
Yeah, so it was about leather to go with the lace, because we had plenty of lace. So the drag queens really occupied the space called lace.
Yes.
But Tom of Finland allowed us to occupy the space called leather.
And you know, sometimes I mean, I've had individuals say, well, he represents a heterosexual masculinity, and he doesn't. I mean, his masculinity that he portrayed is so over-the-top masculine that it was a way to really show what we can become, what we want to be, what we can manifest.
Right.
And it was, again, it's always comes down to freedom.
Well, and it was considered obscene material at one time, right? Mail this in the U.S.
Not even that long ago. I mean, the thing is that we've been around for 35 years as a foundation nonprofit, and we've had to have a lot of discrimination against played on us, even by our own community, because they wanted to feel like, they felt like the works were dirty, that they were not proud of them, they wouldn't want to display them, you know, they would, and so it really was about Tom never ever allowing himself to be shamed, and always being proud of what he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember in the early days of the gay pride parades in the early 70s, people would complain, oh, they always show either the drag queens or the leather guys.
And it's with like, bare ass.
Yes, that's what they would say. And we would say, well, that is in fact what pushes people's buttons. The whole idea of men acting either effeminate or men acting hyper-masculine pushes people's buttons.
And you know, the problem that we faced as a society, as a culture, as a community, is that to make room for all of those extremes. Because the fact is that if we don't, then we start to become very controlled and limited in regards to how we can be expressed and how we express ourselves. And that's what the foundation stands for. It stands for, you know, when we have emerging artist competitions, we have one rule and only one rule, and that is that they can't have sold any of their erotic art prior to entering the contest. No other rules, because we feel like society has gotten so many rules.
It's true.
What we want is to free it up.
Well, yeah, Cincinnati are trying to banish Robert Mapplethorpe's work, obviously.
Yep.
And historically, any presentation of sex in the arts is met with some degree of government oppression, especially in music, but also in the visual arts, which is what Tom of Finland is all about.
You know, and really, you don't really see it until you really start to explore it and how controlled we really are. And so I really, when I entered the gay culture, I was so happy because it was about freedom and about that I could be, you know, a drag queen said to me at a bar when I was just like 21, she says, so what's up with you? And I said, well, I've sort of come to San Francisco to find myself. And she snapped those fingers and she said, honey, you can be anything that you want to be. and that I really took her to heart, you know.
What year was that?
That was like 1971.
71. Yeah, yeah, 71 yeah. In San Francisco. Yeah. So Stonewall had just happened 2 years prior, and there you were in San Francisco.
Yes.
Did you ever meet Jose Saria? Wasn't he the big drag queen
yes,
in San Francisco
yes.
that ran for
mayor? In fact, you know what? I can't connect all the dots, but the dots sometimes finally get connected. It could have been him who was standing beside me at the Eagle that night.
It probably could have been, a very famous drag queen in San Francisco that went on to run for mayor. Right. Even before Harvey Milk did, he ran for mayor in San Francisco.
As you have.
And have been on for 20 years.
Yes.
Yeah, but West Hollywood's a little more tame than I think San Francisco in the 70s.
Well, you know, that is true. And West Hollywood has been very good to the foundation over the years and has given us opportunities and places to have our art fairs and that. But the other part of it is that, oh gosh, I just hope that it doesn't get too conservative and too controlled, because if it does, that's really where it all starts to fall apart, you know, and die. You know, the thing is that's the thing about our culture. Our culture is really fragile. And we have to protect it. And how we protect it is making sure that we don't get so controlled that we lose our spontaneity, you know? Right. We had to take the art fair back to our house because at Tom House, because we realized that it had lost its life force. Mm. And so we had to start feeding it again and nurturing it.
Oh. We are going to take a quick commercial break here, but when we come back, we're going to continue to talk to Dirk Dehner from the Tom of Finland Foundation here on Sidebar with John Duran on the new Channel Q. Welcome back, gang. If you're just tuning in, we are talking to Dirk Dehner from the Tom of Finland Foundation. He brought me a gift, a beautiful book from the foundation.
My Gay Eye.
Yes. Is that what that means in German? I love
yes.
that.
Yes.
It's really, really, really cool. Thank you. We were talking over the break about when Tom of Finland came up against ACT UP and Queer Nation in the 80s and early 90s.
Yep.
So they weren't really happy with Tom. Why?
Well, they weren't happy because they just looked at his work superficially and felt like it was imitating heterosexual male masculinity, and they didn't look deeper into it. And the thing is that what Tom wanted is he wanted his men to be masculine, number one, because masculinity was the thing that was being denied us. We didn't have any positive examples of homosexual masculinity. It didn't exist.
Right.
And that was one thing. And the other thing is that he wanted his men to be so overtly homosexual. He wanted them to be completely just right into each other. No latent, no passive thing about it.
Well, and that's true. They had curves everywhere.
Yes.
All the drawings had curves like you couldn't
imagine.
So
he said, I want to make sure that nobody can misinterpret my work as being anything other than homosexual.
Yeah. And I've noticed it over the years at Erotic City, at the Gay Pride Festival in Los Angeles. A lot of Tom's work is there, but there's also erotic imagery of women and lesbians and now trans people. So it's not like some of these images are just exclusive to gay men.
Exactly. And what we do is we nurture, we feel that society is a healthier place by the presence of erotic art within it. And that it makes a more sane society and a more tolerant society.
Right. Now, you're a really smart guy, because I've known you a long time. The current mood in the country around Me Too and sexual harassment, you think this is going to end up coming square up against some of the principles or values of Tom of Finland or the presentation of sexual expression?
I mean, the thing about it is that it is already. And so the thing is that what we have to do as a culture, as a community, is that we have to really look and see what are our values, not society's values, but what are our values. And of course, we want to respect each other. And in fact, the thing is that what we do more than society is we're so inclusive.
Right.
And that's our nature, sometimes to our own detriment.
LGBTQ squared, IA, B, on and on.
And that's
very inclusive.
That's our nature. nature.
That is our
nature. And so the thing about it is that as new individuals come into our community, and we don't have quite the way of passing on. Indigenous societies, they pass it on by contact. But we have not had that contact over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And so they come in, and all they know is what society outside is talking about, you know, and it has purpose. There's purpose. Women need to have liberation and respect and opportunity. And so, but within our own culture, what gave us freedom in the early days, the freedom to be able to actually say yes, to say no, to say please, you know, and to enjoy all of that. I mean, I'm sort of sad that the whole thing of cruising, which has been such a pleasure in my life.
It's an art form.
Yes, has that. In fact, it's not being passed on.
Right.
And in fact, it's really one of the pleasures of being able to really let somebody know that you are delicious.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I tell the millennials, before Grindr and Scruff, before you could meet people on the instrument in your hand,
yes,
you had to actually physically go to a bar and look at somebody and get attention and figure out how to start an interaction.
Which is really worrisome for me, because if we don't have the physical opportunity to actually explore that and to get, I mean, how terrified we are, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's really about interrelationship.
Right.
And so, I don't know. I don't know what, I think
either.
That what, I must say that at the Tom House, it is a place of freedom. People come there and they don't want to leave because they feel so at home. And you know, there's very few places in the world that we as a community can call ours.
Tell us about the Tom House. Tom House is over by Echo Park,
it's
right?
It's in Echo Park, and it's a 1910 house that Tom lived in over the 80s. And it's where I've lived since the beginning of the 80s. And it's a house that's full of art. It's a celebration to erotic art. It's got all hundreds and hundreds of different artists.
And it's open to the public. Public can come.
We give tours. Have to make a reservation this Sunday. We have an open house from 11 to 4, and also we have drawing classes, we have teas, we have all sorts of community activities that happen there, and it is going to live on past me, and it is now part of the LA Cultural and Historic Monuments. It's number 1135. So
that's awesome.
It's really the only LGBTQ active site in LA that has been given that status.
And it's a nonprofit too.
And it's
people
a nonprofit.
People should be supporting the foundation.
Well, see, I've held on and I've carried it forth to, and I'll be gone in the relatively soon. And the thing is that the deal is now, I've taken care of it this far. Now our community needs to take, you know, step up and take
make sure
care of it.
It continues
because
to live.
It's a treasure. And the thing is, it's not just a treasure from the past. It's so amazing how young creatives and artists from residency programs are coming and staying there and just really, really blossoming. So it's really something about the now. Also.
Yeah, that's really, you know, we've got the June Mazur Lesbian Archives in West Hollywood.
Yep.
And I always forget the Tom of Finland Archives are in Echo Park,
yep.
right down the
and,
freeway.
I mean, LA is a rich, rich place. And let's remember that Stonewall was not the first. It's fine for us to celebrate it.
I know.
But the first rebellion.
I tell people
rebellion.
This every week. I tell this people every week. There was life before 1969.
Those drag queens were throwing donuts downtown.
Yeah they were. Black Cat and the donut, Randy's Donuts.
Yes,
that's right. Here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But even before that, I mean, gay people were meeting in the 1940s out of World War II.
Yep.
And that's where a lot of these images of sailors and military come from.
Well, you know, Tom, and this is about the sometimes it's about sexuality, and the thing is that he really loved being a sexual being, and even so, even though he was down in the trenches, as it were, he also was right up there wanting to make a difference.
Oh, that's amazing.
Dirk, that's who we are.
I want to have you back again, so don't go kicking the can quite yet.
Okay.
All right, I need you a few more times on the show, because I really enjoyed our conversation.
Well,
today.
Read My Gay Eye, enjoy it. It's a celebration of us.
I will. Thank you. That's Dirk Dehner from the Tom of Finland Foundation. Thanks for tuning in to Sidebar with John Duran here on Channel Q.